hardly catered for. Men bear so much responsibility that they are hardly catered for. It is the men that must appreciate the mothers for all the contributions that they make to the family. It is the men that must also bring up the children. It is the men that must look into the society. And if care is not taken, there will be no song for men. Hallelujah. If care is not taken, what did I say? No song. Who sang Sweet Mother? Was a man. Was a man. It was out of the heart of responsibility of seeing what a woman did in his life. You see, men always bear responsibility. The Lord will help us as we look into his word this morning on the issue of fatherhood in Jesus' name. Can we turn in our scriptures quickly? We'll be doing a bit of reading. I pray we have enough time. The matter of fatherhood is too big to capture in a meeting like this. It's just too big. We'll just touch one or two things there and we'll quickly move on. Can we look into, I think, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. We'll be reading later from 3 to 12, but for now, let's just read verse 3 quickly if you have found it. You are not, please, can we give, let's have a mic. Whoever is reading, can we give a mic? Anybody who is reading, just give them the mic so that they won't have to strain their voices. Okay, read for us quickly.
But I will have you know
that the head of every the mic is not doing the work. But I will have you know
the head of every man is Christ.
The head of every man is Christ.
And the head of the woman is the man.
And the head of the woman is the man.
And the head of Christ is God.
And the head of Christ is God. That scripture is very strange. I thought that scripture would start by saying, I will have you know that the head of Jesus is God. And the head of man, and head, no. The head of the woman, I think you should start from the below. I will have you know that the head of the woman is the man, and the head of the man is Jesus, and the head of Jesus is God. I think that would have been a good order, B. That would have been a logical, we would have been able to follow it. Why did he dismantle the whole thing? He just went to the middle and started and said, I would have you to know that the head of the woman for every man, is what? Jesus Christ. That is where the problem of fatherhood is. And that is where it's been located. I will have you to know, because we did not know. We are actually suffering from ignorance. So the Lord is coming to let us know how he intended to deal with the issue of fatherhood. And he says that actually it's because the men and even the women did not realize that the head of the man is Christ. We do not know. There is a place that says in the Bible, there are three things that bring trouble to the earth, and even four that makes the head not to have peace. He says, a servant who becomes a king, a rebel who prospers in rebellion, a nagging wife that finds a husband, and a maid who inherits her husband. And all these four things, two of them, 50% of the problem of this world emanates from the family. Two of them actually are related to the family. Then the other two, you'll be surprised, are also related to lack of correct fatherhood. So what the scripture there was saying is that the problems of this world actually emanated from lack of correct fatherhood. Any problem you see anywhere in this world, any problem you see anywhere, it is originating from what? Bad or absent fatherhood. It pains me that we actually have never seen, we didn't see Adam in the truest sense of who he was before the fall came. The only picture we saw of him was that the Lord gave him an assignment which looked impossible, to name everything on the earth. And we saw him, he was naming everything. And what the Bible said, anything that Adam named it, what became of it, please? That was the name it took from that day till today. We have never seen the real man. The real man actually is hidden from us. We don't know what man is. Dr. Mo used to tell us of a couple that came to him for their intending couples. And after counseling with them, he noticed that the woman was bigger and taller than the man. And he asked the woman, "Are you sure you want to marry this man?" She said, "Yes." "Ah. Are you sure you'll be able to submit to this man? Won't you be intimidating him and say, 'Who are you?' Won't you box him into a corner?" And that woman gave an answer that even today I've never forgotten. The woman said, "Ogasa," she said it in Yoruba, so I will say it in Yoruba and then translate. He said, "Oga, ko si kekere okunrin o." Do you understand that? Eh? There is nothing like a small man. Even if a man is physically small, hey, eh? What is he, please? He's a giant. Ko si what? Ko si kekere okunrin. Ko si kekere okunrin. A man, there is no small man. There is no Lilliputian man. There is no tiny man. There is no dwarf as a man. Even if he's physically a dwarf, actually, who is he in real sense? He's a giant. It is because of some things that went wrong. That is why we are dealing with this matter. That all the problems, you don't know the kind of responsibility and position that a man is supposed to occupy. And that is why men are reduced to mere men. Men are reduced to mere men because we lack the understanding. So we see in that passage, and it says that, "I would have you to know, I am trying to deal with your ignorance. I will have you to know that actually the head of every man is Christ." The head of every man is Christ. Just about what I was talking about Adam. You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the second Adam, Abi. Is that not correct? So in Jesus, we started to gain some insight of what a man should be. If Adam died without doing much, we have the example of Jesus as the second Adam. And it is the stature of Jesus and all that Jesus achieved that is the stature of a man. That man in your house that you belittle and kick around, actually, he is supposed to be what? In the stature, the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. That is what that man supposed to be. Now, what happened that he became a dwarf? That is the problem. What happened that the man is a non-achiever with all the potentials for him to achieve in life? How come we are looking at the matter of fatherhood? The last time I was yabbing the photographer, so I have to apologize openly because they told me it's for their purpose. So please, you can snap the picture. I just don't want to be distracted by posing for the camera. Hallelujah. Amen. So I have to apologize to them openly also. So please do your work, please. All right. So he says, let's now follow the organogram that we are given. We have God, we have Jesus, we have the man, and we have what? The woman. Okay? Now, our problem is that when God deals with our ignorance, we don't take immediate action, and we are going to take immediate action today in Jesus' name. Now, I think we all know the story of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Do we remember? We want to learn this thing now. What we are learning, I want to put it to practical use. When he says that the head of Jesus is God, what does he mean? It means that Jesus reports to God. Hallelujah. It means that Jesus takes instructions from God. It means that Jesus does not act independently of God. It means that Jesus will not supplant God. It means that Jesus will not take instructions from anybody else except God. I think that one is very simple. Hello? I think that's very simple, Abby. Not difficult. Sister Anya will say, that one is moi moi. That one is moi moi. Very simple. So let's follow it now. If we are to follow that very well now, he says, I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. Excuse me, please. What does that mean? Let's do the same thing. It means that man does not act upon anybody's instruction except who? Except Christ. He says that the head of the man is Christ. It means that man takes instruction from Christ and passes it down to the wife. I think I'm correct. And I don't see a man trying to supplant Jesus, to go to God directly and say, God, don't mind Jesus. So please, there is a matter that is very important. I think I can bypass Jesus to come to you. Is it correct? No. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can bypass me to get to the Father. Am I correct? That is my own version. I interpreted it. Hallelujah. We are dealing with fatherhood. God will help us to get to where we are going. Amen. So, he now says, I will also have you to know that the head of the woman is who? The man. What does it mean, please? It means that the woman takes instruction from the man. That the woman reports to the man. And that the woman will not supplant the man to say, this husband you have given me, actually, he is a foolish man. Like Abigail said to that man, what is his name again now? Naboth. No, Naboth. Nabal. Yes, that's one bad name like that. Okay, so like Abigail said about Nabal. Now, let's now go back to the Garden of Eden. When the devil came and started communing with the woman. You know, the devil was very clever. He didn't go to the man. He went to the one at the bottom of the chain. Hey, our sisters, God will help us in Jesus' name. The devil has not stopped talking to women, no? Hello? The devil had not stopped talking. Anything you see in Genesis is a genesis of our problem. Is the source and revelation of the secret of the trouble. So it's a continuous matter. It's not past tense. It's present continuous. So the devil came to speak to the woman. Now, what should the woman have done if she had understanding of this hierarchy and came and said, did God say you should not eat of every tree of the garden? What should the woman have said, please? Mommy, I saw that I'm ego. Let me talk to my husband. What else would she have said too? Well, if you feel so serious about it, go and meet my head. My husband is there. We don't know what we have said with our mouth today. I am praying that for every issue in our families, I am praying for every matter in our homes, that we'll be able to say this thing that our women have said. When a problem comes in our home, when an issue arises in our family, what should we say, please? Go and meet my husband. Or what do you say, please? Husband, please, somebody came to tell me this. You are the one in charge. Please handle it. I am praying that this will be our position. I am praying that we will not say, look, this matter that come now, I am thinking our children should go to Covenant University. And the husband is saying, I'm thinking of McPherson or Redeemer. I said, no. I think it's better and so on. You are already messing up fatherhood. You are already introducing something that was never there. You are already not understand. You are actually living in complete ignorance. So the scripture has to tell you again, what? I would have you to know that the head of every woman is who? The man. Fatherhood is destroyed the moment a woman does not understand that the head of every woman is the man. You have already destroyed fatherhood. The man will never accomplish anything meaningful in life. If he does, it is because of God's mercy, not because of your help. The Bible says that God said it was not good for the man to be alone. That's all. It was not that God said that the man was deficient. He didn't say that it was not good that we made the man. He is not capable. No. The only issue about the man is that he should not operate alone. He needed a help that is suitable for him. But let's just continue looking at what happened in the Garden of Eden. Now, when the woman came and offered the fruit to the man, what should the man have done, please? According to 1 Corinthians 11:3, what should he have done, please? He would have just said, well, I cannot even collect it from you because they have said we should not collect this thing. All right? So this question you are asking me now about whether we should eat this fruit. You know, the woman was arguing with him. It is good for food. It is pleasant to the eyes. And it's a tree to be desired to make one wise. And the man was just looking at it. And I wish Adam had just said, I cannot do anything of my own. Let me report to my boss. And the man had reported, you know, since he was the first Adam, he could not report to Jesus. What would he have reported to? He would have reported to God. Let me report to God. God will come in the cool of the evening to commune with me. When he comes, we shall sit down and discuss this matter. Meanwhile, please throw that fruit away. Hello? Are we getting it, please? Would that have been a fall of the man? If the man had done that, would that have been a fall? So, also, as we have seen for our women, also for the men, I am praying also. These are two critical prayer points I'm believing God will do in this church. Not long grammar. We can go on and on. But if a man is not an effective husband, he will never be a good father. If the fatherhood is destroyed before he reaches there, he will not see anything to become. The root to correct fatherhood is husbandhood. When you see a man who is not married or who got some children and is ignoring the wife and say, well, you are a nasty person to me, wherever, I will look after the children on my own, he's just wasting his time. He will not achieve anything. So we have seen, and please don't forget, this thing that has happened today. Our problem is that we hear so many fantastic things, we don't put them to practice. That's our problem. That's our biggest problem. So many things that we hear. If only we will use one tenth of it, our life will be transformed. As we are seeing it here, I'm trusting that our mothers, our wives, will be making a resolve and saying, as this word is coming to me now, actually, I am going to change. Every debate and argument with my husband is stopping today in Jesus' name. I'm going to function according to the word of God that I've seen. 1 Corinthians 11:3. He says, for the head of the woman is the man. I will always submit to him everything. It is when he has invited me and said, sweetheart, darling, honey, or whatever, there is this matter, and I just wanted to think, to see what do you think about this matter. And you now bring in your own. That is a fitting help. That is the perfect picture of what was in God's mind. It is when the man said, let's put us together. And then there is a joint wisdom in the approach to life. You will accomplish a lot of things. I'm praying that this matter will be settled today in Jesus' name. Now, for the man, I'm also praying that when your wife starts to nag you and start to put pressure on you, you must do this, you must do that. Oh, this is what we must do. I'm praying that you yourself, you will receive grace to say, just hold on. Let me go and pray about it. Let me receive instruction from the Lord. If I get the instruction, I will come and give direction. I am praying that our men will be men like this in the mighty name of Jesus. It's not long drama. I'm praying that if we just catch one or two small things, that our lives will change. God will start to do something new in this church. No matter, instead of you getting angry that your wife is nagging you, pressurizing you, like I could see Eve pressurizing Adam there. Look, these three, he was giving all the good reasons, and the man was confused, looking at it like this. All these good reasons for this fruit now. Well, maybe I should just eat it. And, when the man did that, he lost his status as a man. He lost his authority in the home. He did not know of the organogram. And he crashed and fell. That's why in all our Bible studies and Sunday school, we teach of the fall of man. The fall of man was not when Eve ate the fruit. Man did not fall when Eve ate the fruit. Even though it was Eve that first made the mistake, it was not a problem. Excuse me, every man that is here, no matter what your wife does, that is not the problem. That is not where the problem, no matter what your wife does, that is not the problem. It is what you did in consequence of what your wife did that is the problem. It is what you did in consequence of what your wife did that is the problem. That is the headache of God. That is the headache of God. Men don't pray. Many men don't come for Bible study. They don't want to know of having access to Jesus. their head. They don't want to understand how Jesus operates. They just say, no, we have to go and earn money. You know, Pastor, understand with us, we are very, very busy. Very busy, not knowing the person you are reporting to. Very busy, not receiving instruction of where to cast your net. You know, Peter, on that day, what did he tell Jesus? We are very busy. We have worked all night. We have toiled, even this water, there is no fish here. We have every corner of the sea. We have gone there. You were thinking that money making is from your understanding and your calculation. You were thinking that survival and provision of food and resources for your family is from the sweat of your forehead. You did not know that that is a curse. You did not understand that fatherhood is first and foremost a spiritual thing. You thought it was something you could manufacture by exerting yourself. You have gone to business school and they have taught you how to do things. I don't know if Peter needed a business school on fishing. He was a master fisher. I didn't think there was any other lesson they could have given Peter on fishing that he didn't have. And he told Jesus, we have toiled all night and there is no fish in this sea. But he now added one small clause. What's that clause, please? Nevertheless, at your word. What's that one, please? That is submission to authority. I am an expert in this field. I know everything about having fishing before I met you. There is nothing about these waters I don't know. But in spite of that, because you are my head, I must obey you. Even when it looks as if there is nothing here, I know that there is something you are talking about. That business that I run up and down for, that contract you are looking for, I wish you would say, nevertheless, at your word. That useless struggle you have put yourself into, I wish you would say, nevertheless, at your word. I'm not very good at giving personal testimony. I don't think anybody of you will catch me giving personal testimony. Because it looks as if you are making yourself to appear special. That God is specially blessing you. But I know, and my family knows, how the Lord has been helping us. How when everything is dry, something will just come. In short, on Thursday, I was just going to take some money and the Spirit just told me, don't bother about that money. I'm going to give you money today. I said, God, where from where? Nobody, no nothing. This one has happened several times. Not once, not twice. Several times when somebody will just from nowhere just drop some money. So I just say, this I was just laughing. I said, okay, God, I trust you, but I needed to collect this money for small things. But I'm believing that what you have said will come to pass. Brethren, as I got home, I saw an alert in my account. I didn't know who paid it. I saw the name. The person wasn't owing me. He wasn't owing me. He's a client, but he wasn't owing me. So I had to call him. I said, bro, but you paid this money in. What is the problem? He said, he's paying it in. I said, I'm doing a case for you. You have paid me the deposit. We are working. I'm not due for the balance yet. He said, I should just hold on to that one. He said, I should just hold on to that one first. Just hold on to it. Hallelujah. The head of every man is who? Is Christ. His fatherhood is a spiritual matter. The provision of resources for your home is a spiritual matter. And you leave Christ. The pastor is there presenting Christ to you every Tuesday. The source of your supply. But you are like Esau. There was plenty meat in the house. But what does he do, please? He goes to the bush to go and hunt for a squirrel. Plenty of meat in the house. Being dished out every time. But you will not come. You prefer to struggle. to go by the sweat of your forehead. May you not die struggling in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I was looking at the man Esau. When he would have taken a blessing, he lost out on everything. When they tempted him about his birthright, did they take it to the bank? He had no respect for spiritual matters. What did he do with birthright? Birthright, call birthright me. Oh, give me food, Dad. I want to die. You are telling me about birthright. I need food for my family. You are telling me spiritual matters. Pastor, which one is Bible? My inheritance, my God-given whatever. I am not ready to hear that. Let me go and get food. Give me food. Let me leave something. Birthright, call birthright me. And many suffer and lack. And you keep on struggling and struggling. And you think that is fatherhood. You come home and tell your children, oh boy, if I didn't suffer, oh, if I didn't go and do this, if I didn't go and do that, what, would you have anything to eat? Hey! You are a bad father. What you should be teaching them is that, I'm also under authority. And it is just God that is providing it. As I'm praying to God, you also can be praying to God. And your children start to learn about receiving God's help right early. But what you are teaching them is the opposite. You are teaching them to live under a curse. That, you too, you can see me the way I'm doing. I'm struggling and struggling. When you go up to, go out and do what? And struggle. You are passing the curse down to your children. A bad father. Hallelujah. The head, we have not left this scripture, and there are many scriptures to deal with. Praise the Lord. He says, for I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. But men would not come to Christ. Men would not pray. Call prayer meeting. It is women you will see there. Men don't know how to cry to Christ. Many of them, when you want to talk about marriage and relationship and fatherhood and so on, they will tell you, what do you want to tell me? I'm a professional. I know it. They will not submit unto the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know it. It is a pity. You know, apart from that, God also expects you as a man, not only that when your wife brings an issue, you will take it to your head. But you will also stand in your position as you have been placed as a man, a person of authority over your house. Excuse me. When the devil was talking to Eve, where was Adam? I'm asking a question. When you look at Genesis, I'm repeating it to us. For every problem in the home, for every issue in the family, the place to go to, I'm telling you, no matter how complicated it is, go back to where? Genesis. It is the beginning of trouble. And it's also the beginning of blessing. The devil went there to poison the place so that the beginning of our blessing will bring problem. So when the devil came to your home and started showing pornography to your children, Oga, father, where were you? When your children were learning disobedience in form of just going out and doing whatever they could do, where was the man? When your wife was getting wrong ideas about life, where were you? Did you not just give up? I've been talking to her. She doesn't listen to me. Did you not just give up? Did you see it as your own God-given responsibility that whether this woman likes it or not, she will be correct before God? It is my duty not only to provide, but also to do what? To protect. To guide, to lead, to instruct. We are talking about where was the man in giving instructions to his home, in being a father to his home. Where was he? He was nowhere to be seen. He was probably looking for business. He was probably in one place looking for a contract, and the home was left open to the devil. When your children needed to hear something from you, when they had a question to ask, you were not there. You are busy, very, very busy, and we can understand. We can understand. If you didn't keep two jobs, you could not make ends meet. So in the morning, you are a washerman. In the evening, you are a student. In the morning, you are a student. In the evening, you are doing some other job because you must make ends meet. I wish you will be a man under Christ. I wish you will understand this authority, this position. You see, this matter also goes to issue of a man bearing authority in his home. When you know, let's read that place further. Let's just see whether we can make progress, because we can spend all day on verse 3. Let's read from verse 4 now. Let's read to verse 12. Who is my reader? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 4 to 12 now. We have read only verse 3. We want to see how quickly we can cover the remaining.
Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonored his head.
Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, is dishonoring his head. Go on.
But every woman that prayed or prophesied with her head uncovered, dishonor her head.
Woman having praying or prophesying, having her head uncovered, dishonors her head. Go on.
For that is even all one as if she were shaven.
It's as if you remove her head. Go on.
For if the woman be not covered,
let her be shorn.
Also be shorn.
Shorn, shaven.
But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered.
Amen. Go on.
For a man indeed ought not to cover his head. For as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man.
Go on.
For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman was created for the man. For this cause, all the woman so have power on her head because of the angels.
Okay. Are you in verse 12?
No. Nevertheless, neither is a man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, out of all things of God.
Praise the Lord. We will just take that briefly. Maybe we'll still be able to touch one other scripture. It says, when a man is praying and he covers his head, he is dishonoring his head. When they use the word head there, they are not talking about his head. What are you talking about, please? God bless you. I think you are better Bible students than myself. And when they said the woman, when she's praying and prophesying, and she actually opens her head, she's dishonoring her head. Who are you talking about, please? The man. Let's get this understanding. I'm not going to whether you should cover hair or not cover hair today. I will not make that mistake. I will not come out alive. Hallelujah. Now, but we are talking about headship. He says, when a woman is praying and prophesying and she does not cover her head, she is dishonoring her head. Why? Because the woman is what? The glory of the man. Hey. Because what? The woman is what? The glory. Hey. I don't know how to put that. Women, I think if we get this, honestly, we will always honor our husbands. We will make them fathers indeed. The woman is the amunyogon of the man. When one of the biggest kings of the kingdom, in the reign, Bible says the kingdom was the largest kingdom on earth at that time. He was so mighty, he destroyed many kingdoms, he took them over. He had armies, they went everywhere, conquered everywhere, he took everywhere over. That is the image of a man. That is what a man is. I saw he now went to collect one beautiful girl and made the girl his wife. And when he had become such a fantastic king, everybody was subject to him. He now did a party and called all the people and gave them a long party. They were eating and drinking and everything. When he finished with the people, he now organized another party for all his governors, all his ministers, all those people and so on. A bigger party. And at the height of that party, he now did something. He was now calling out his wife. Hey! To come and show. I was wondering, why did he need to call out the wife now? Everybody knows how big you are. Everybody knows how powerful you are. Everybody knew how fantastic, how majestic, how rich, how everything this man was. He was serving food for 6 months. People were having parties from the resources of the kingdom. But you see, all those ones does not show who he is. Until what? Until they see the queen. Until they see the glory of his life. This is the glory. Of all the things I've been fighting for, of all the kingdoms I've won, actually, it is for this woman. Can you see how beautiful, how well-dressed, how well... I was wondering, is this the reason why this man went to all these battles to fight? He says, the woman is what? The glory of the man. After the man has gone to conquer and do everything, honestly, it's just to come back to you. And say what? Can you see what I've achieved? And if you say, you have not achieved anything, what is this one? What would he do, please? He will still go out there until he satisfies you. He says the woman is what? The glory of the man. But that's not where we are going. We are talking about fatherhood. We may not be able to take all the issues of fatherhood, but some things are indicting in my heart. I think my time is getting up. And I've not started. Hallelujah. Amen. We will not be able to go to so many issues today. But let me just tackle this one. He says, but the man does not need to cover his head. Why? Read your Bible. The man does not need to cover his head when he's praying or prophesying. Why? Oh yeah, he's dishonoring God. Fine. Yes, he's dishonoring God. Correct. Go on. Because the man is what? The image and glory of God. The man is the glory. The one that God uses to come and say, come and see the man I've made. Come and check him out. Check this guy out. He's so great. He's so wonderful. Check out the guy I've made. Hey! This is my glory. We said, God, but we can see your glory in all the earth, all the things. I just said, that one is small. Come and see the man. Come and see. And that is the man you mess up in the home. The glory and the image of God. I was thinking that as the woman needed to cover because the man was her head, I was thinking that the man also needed to cover because Jesus is his head. But what do we see there, please? He said the man must not cover. Hey! Say, God, what is this one you are saying? Said the man should not cover. Why? Because what? He is the image and glory of God. Now understood. As the representative of the divine Trinity, as the representative of God on earth here, he must not cover. When a man gets to church and removes his cap, it's not out of respect, even though that's what we say. When he covers, not that cap on his head, but when he covers up some of his activities that he could not expose, he is what? He is a shame unto God. He is dishonoring his head. When he submits his authority to the woman, he is covering up. He is a shame unto his head. A man ought to stand gidigba like this without anything covered and say, come, look at me. Look at me. I'm the one representing God here. Follow me. Follow my example. I am, if you never saw God, you are seeing me. Follow my example. I am the glory and what? And the image of God. I am balanced on all sides. Follow me. But our men cannot do that. And this is the beginning of fatherhood. When you stand in the glory and image of God in your home, that is when you start to become a father. When there is nothing you are covering up, when there is absolute confidence, you don't have a bad habit that you can say, my children, don't copy this one. No. You don't beat up your wife and say, when you grow up, pray you don't have a nagging wife. Everything about you, your children can follow. That is when you are a father. When you stand in the full image and glory of God. When you can young panda and you say, look, all my life, you see, as a man, once you get married, even if you are not correct, start to get correct. Start to get every bad habit in your life. Better abandon them. Otherwise, you are ruining your own life. You are ruining your own status. You are ruining your own heritage. That thing that God has, the Bible says that the wife is the reward of the man. That reward that God is reserving for you, you have lost it. Everything that does not conform to the image of God, he says you are the image and glory. Everything that's unrighteous, no matter how small in your life, every habit that does not conform to Christ, every anger, every impatience, every wrong desire, every kind of thing, and no matter how small, because it is that small part that your children will copy. It is that small negative thing that the devil has introduced into your life that will be passed down to your children. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Praise the Lord. Great fatherhood comes from not covering up, opening your head and standing out fine and telling everybody to do what? Look at me. I am what? I am the image. Abi, and the glory, that's when fatherhood starts. That's the beginning of being a father. When you can say that to your children, look at me. When they cannot look at you for anything, if you are a man-made person, if you are not submitting to Christ, there is no to look into your life. Oh. What they are going to see in your life is how submissive you are to Christ. How you pray. I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, that says what? I urge that men should pray everywhere, raising up holy hands. Men should show them about your prayer life. You know, I used to do something in those days. I can't do it again. The house is crowded. When we nearly got married, me, I love a kind of prayer. I would just go and kneel down somewhere in the parlor and be praying. I don't pray out loud. I don't shout. And my wife would just say, I hope you are praying. You know, I hope you are not sleeping. I said, no, I'm not sleeping. I'm praying. And what do you see? Later on, I just saw my children. They would do the same thing. They would just come to the parlor, kneel down on the chair too, and they would not talk. Excuse me, did I sit down to give them a lesson on how to pray? Eh? It is what is flowing out of your life. That's why he said you don't need a cover. Don't let your life be hidden. Stand out. Praise the Lord. Well, I think my time is up. We need to pray. We are to deal with the issue of some things about fatherhood. To go into, you know, when Pastor and I were talking in the office some time ago, we were talking about even men in the society, and there's an issue about what we are. God did not create us to be local champions in the home. As men, we are supposed to represent him in the society. That is when your manhood comes into operation. You are not yet a man unless you are functioning as a man at the gates of the society. When you are known for something, but many men die unsung and unknown for anything. There is nothing that they have created to bring into this world. A man is an ancestor. He is the first of a set of people. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 verse 11 that Abraham was the father of the faithful. Now, I wonder, Abraham had only one son. The faithful are in billions. How come he had billions of children? Because he started that matter of faith with God. What are you starting in this earth that others can follow? What is God bringing unto all of us through your life that all of us can follow? In Genesis chapter 4, I think verse 19 to 20, you see there, he says, Jubal was the father of all of them that played musical instruments and all that and all that. Because a man, a father is an ancestor. There is something you are bringing to the community. There is something that your children will see and say, yes, my father accomplished this. And there is a place for accomplishment of a man. But the Lord will help us that such issues we will tackle. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Let's talk to the Lord. We have not talked so much of the role of father in the home, but we are dealing with the source of fatherhood. We have not talked of the role of the father that comes through being a good husband. Because if you are not a good husband, you cannot be a good father. Fatherhood is a spiritual matter. Your children that you have two or three. Some years ago, the Lord taught us here, as a man, he could commit 2 million people into your hands and you will feed them day and night and they will be eating. They will be eating. How come you are dying just taking care of three children and that is all you could do? All your salary, everything went to it and you finish up. You could not accomplish anything. Let's talk to the Lord. Father, make me a correct father. Make me a correct father. Let me stand in the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. That Christ could take care of 5,000 people in a day and feed them, and it was not a problem. He himself was following that example. That a man could feed 2 million people day and night, and there was not a problem. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's cry unto him. Let him intervene in our lives. He's telling us about true fatherhood, who a father really is, what a father will accomplish in life, what a man was meant to be. He's not born as a male person just for fun. There were authorities to bear upon the earth. He's to stand on behalf of God and accomplish many things on his behalf. Let's pray. As mothers, let's pray for our husbands, that they will become true fathers indeed. Not just biological fathers of our children, but fathers in the nation. Fathers in the city gates of our town. Fathers in every aspect of their profession. Fathers that many will be following after. People of great accomplishment that will be known and renowned. Let's pray that God will help them. Let's pray for ourselves that will not be an impediment. We will not look at them as mere men. Because as you see them as mere men, that is what they will become. Oh, if you just see them and their faults, you could see all their faults. You see them day and night. That is what they will become. But if you see them the way God sees them, that's what they will become. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for our men. That Father, Lord, may our men not perish as mere men. May our men not perish as mere men. May they accomplish every purpose that you have had for their lives. May they arrive at that destination that you mean for them. Oh, they are supposed to be men of greatness, men of accomplishment, to accomplish those things that even Jesus himself accomplished. Oh, Father, Lord God, help our husbands, help our fathers, If you are here, you are a father, pray for your father. Pray for your father. May he accomplish the purpose for which God has brought him to this end. May he never fail. If you are a teenager, pray for yourself and pray for your fathers. Pray for yourself. As a male teenager, pray for yourself. Father, help me that I will not default. I will not fail even in this assignment you have given me as a potential father. I will arrive well. I will be a good father. Any woman I married, oh, she will be blessed. She will say, I thank God for your life. You are a good husband to me. And any children I will have, they will rise up in the morning and bless me and say, I'm a good father unto their lives. Father, help me. I will arrive there. And if you are a man, you are the one we have been talking to. All the lessons concern you. Oh, how are you relating to the pressures from your wife? Oh, are you succumbing? Are you abandoning your place of authority? Or are you using bold face and harsh words to crush your wife, to crush her spirit, because you don't know how else you will cope with her? You have said she's a necessary evil. Oh, a blessing that God brought to your life. Somebody that you were delighted to take to the altar. Would you repent right now? Would you start to see the reward, the grace, the treasure that God has placed in your wife just for you? Just for you to become the man. Even if the woman became a professor and became the richest woman, it is just for you. Oh, it's just that you might achieve what God has meant you to achieve. Would you cry to God? Father, help me. Even the woman you have given me, help me to relate with her properly. Help me to maximize the gifts that you have brought into this life, even through her. Help me to maximize every blessing that you have brought into life, that you are bringing into my life through this woman. Help me to maximize it. Let me not become a person in conflict with my wife, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we bless your name. We say, Lord, by your mercy, you will help our men. Lord, Father, we have fathers indeed in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, as our men, let not to cover up. Let not to have anything to cover their head. But they are open. They stand as the image and glory of God. Let them remain your glory and your image in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, Lord God, every purpose, every invention, every new thing that our men are supposed to bring to this world, let them not default in the mighty name of Jesus. They are supposed to make a significant contribution even to life, to this world, that people will never forget. Father, Lord, we have them in this house. We have them in this church. Raise men, raise fathers that will be men of accomplishment in their chosen profession, in their chosen trade, in their chosen businesses, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, Father, for in Jesus' matchless name we have prayed. Amen. I perceive there could be other prayer points as they arise. Our pastor.